Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, and welcome to the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Really glad to be with you. The first part of our show is brought to you by Noble Gold. Listen, if you're keeping more than operating capital in the bank, I believe you're really making a mistake. And if you just pay attention to what the experts are saying about the economy, that should be enough to scare you out of the banks. The banks are canceling lines of credit. Did you know that? Credit cards from the banks are now issuing hidden fees, and if you don't catch it, you're paying extra more than you should. It's because they're broke. They're in trouble. Noble Gold can help you diversify. I went from being client to customer. They can help you too. So what I want you to do is call Noble Gold this week. Tell them Dave Hodges sent you, 877-646-5347, or go to noblegoldinvestments.com. Again, that's 877-646-5347. Let them look at your portfolio. They're not pushy. They'll send you free material. But at the end of the day, you'll be diversified and be better equipped to deal with things like hyperinflation, which I believe is right around the corner. So Noble Gold can be there to help you, like I believe they've helped me prepare. We have an interesting guest on our show today. We go way, way back to our RBN days, Republic Broadcasting. In fact, Govern America, which is our guest show, Darren Weeks, he co-hosts with Vicki Davis. Govern America was the first show to ever air our conflict with John McCain on behalf of the Central American Free Trade Agreement to steal land from individual private citizens like myself and 300 of my neighbors so they could one day have that land available with massive water rights. And we sit on the state's largest water aquifer. They wanted all that for their Canamex highway system. And I went on Darren's show, and it was pretty shocking. We got quite a tremendous response because at that time, the mainstream media was trying to keep me out. So I went on Govern America, and we got some good results. So Darren, I don't know if you knew that. Your show was actually the first show I ever went on about this topic.
I think you mentioned it once before on your show, but I didn't know it prior to that. Yeah, that's a great honor.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear that.
On behalf of my community, we thank you because, unfortunately, we're growing, and I like the loneliness out here, the desolation, and that's changing quickly. But nonetheless, us original people really appreciate what you and Nancy Levant did, who was your co-host at the time. She was so outraged, she couldn't. I remember her reaction. I go, gosh, she's as bad as I am. And you guys really did a lot towards really raising awareness, because it was after I was on your show that USA Today ran something on it. And the picked-on Arizona people is what they referred to us as. And so it was a good catalyst. So I really appreciate it. But good news. Govern America is still around, isn't it?
Yeah. We're still going strong. We took a year off back some time ago due to some technical problems that we were having. And now that we got that resolved, and it was nice to get a little bit of a R&R and kind of, I think sometimes you have to rejuvenate and kind of get your perspective back. And so it was nice to be able to take a year off and kind of go do what I wanted for a change without having a program, a broadcast hanging over my head. But since then, we've been going strong. I mean, we haven't really missed, even through the holidays, we have new shows for the most part because there's just so much to talk about in our world. Things have gotten so... Well, Dave, it's really... A lot of it is just kind of how we predicted it, isn't it? I mean, everything... Yes. You know, we couldn't have possibly predicted every little detail, but from pandemics to fiscal crises, like you mentioned just a moment ago, hyperinflation, and we just talked about Saturday how nearly 7% inflation has jumped year over year. And, you know, to be honest with you, people don't seem to put together that when the government's writing everybody's checks, you know, there's a cost involved in that. It's a hidden tax, and you're seeing it everywhere now. It's really the death of a thousand cuts.
Yeah, unfortunately, people like you and I understand this, and I'm not mean to sound arrogant, but we do understand it because we work in this every day. And the majority of people today know something's terribly wrong. They can't trust their government, and the media is lying to them. I think most people know this now, but they haven't connected the dots. Do you find the same thing?
Yeah, I think more are connecting the dots now than ever have been before. That's one thing that's encouraging, and somebody just recently said, and I really agree with it, that we've really arrived at the state where we need to wake people up. You know, for so many years, from the Bill Cooper days on, it's always been about, we got to wake up everybody up. We've got to wake up America. Well, now, due to the advent of everything exploding, years of effort, I think, by people in the truth media, but also everybody, there's so many people now that are broadcasters as well as, you know, podcasters. I mean, all of these platforms have just exploded. And it's really been, it's led to a number of things. One of the things, the censorship is just off the charts because they've figured out they have to do something to try to put the genie back in the bottle. Now that everybody has the ability to spread information at the speed of light, we've used that platform, our side, the truth tellers, to bypass the mainstream media. We've got more of an audience collectively than any of the big networks, CNN, Fox News. I mean, Fox News, Tucker Carlson does very well still. But a lot of the major networks, collectively, we in the truth media have more of an audience now. And so in many respects, we've had to kind of, the other side's kind of been forced to adjust and in some ways sound more like us. And in other ways, just censor, censor, censor.
Yeah.
To the point where they didn't just knock you off the platform. But then the thing I love is that we've got technical people too. And there are ways that, you know, even if it means having to rebuild and build things from scratch, and it may take a little while, but there are parallel economies that are being built. There are parallel systems being built that are much more resilient and much more fortified against the type of censorship and deplatforming that we've seen in recent years. So for that reason, I see a cause for much optimism. But you know, it's a cat and mouse game, to be honest about it. I mean,
yeah, they're having trouble. You're exactly right. I like your phrase, the genie's out of the bottle. That is true. You know where I think the globalists, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, have made their major mistake? Is they woke up the soccer moms, their husbands, and their co-workers by this critical race theory that has consumed school boards with sweetheart deals, golden parachutes, where these school boards are bought and paid for, but they're totally anti their community. And this has so inflamed the people that I think this is the biggest spread that, hey, this government's not on our side. Because this is one thing I discovered. When they came after me to steal my land, I found out there's a lot of other things that are wrong too. And when you find out one of these things are wrong and it's a conspiracy, then you look around and you start to see other things pretty quickly.
Yeah, I have a brother-in-law who canceled his cable television. This guy is a lefty, and he voted for Biden. I don't know how strongly he supported Biden, him and his wife, but they were very anti-Trump. They hated the orange man, hated the mean tweets, and frankly, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not a major Trump supporter either. I've got a lot of problems with Trump. Operation Warp Speed being one of the chief among them.
A lot of people are right there with you, Darren.
But be that as it may, I always say about Trump, it's not really about Trump. It's about the wave of populism that Trump represented. I don't even think Trump fully understands this, that it's not about his personalities as much as it is about the ideas that he espoused, whether they were sincere or not. He espoused certain ideas, strong borders being one of them. Making America great again. You know, in other words, returning back to the area where we were strong. You know, we were fiscally solvent. Now, a lot of his policies weren't consistent with the messaging, but the messaging is what people supported. They want a strong America. And it was really a rejection in my mind of the globalism that we have seen, where we empower foreign countries like China. You know, open borders, free trade agreements that drive Americans and, you know, drive out the middle class out of business, basically. It's a global race to the bottom in terms of wages and outsourcing of jobs. And so it was a rejection of those types of globalist policies that make our country weak. And here you had somebody, and I mean, early on, I like Donald Trump, you know, why do I care anything about Donald Trump when he was campaigning? I remember that the night I was in a hotel room with my wife. I can't even remember where we were. We were on some kind of trip. We had a hotel TV on, and Donald Trump was campaigning, and he made a speech. And I was just sitting there with my mouth open because I said, gosh, you know, he's saying everything that I've been saying for years. You know, so that kind of was a tremendous turning point in terms of everything that we saw in our country. And with this messaging, I think that helped to wake up a lot of the American people as well. And from there, I mean, once people are awake, you're never going to get them back asleep again. And that's what the other side really wishes that they could do. It takes a generation. But at the same time, you brought up critical race theory. That poison is being pumped into the minds of young people all across this country right now. And once you have that kind of venom infecting their minds, again, you're looking at a generation to a generation and a half maybe before a lot of this stuff is expunged, before you can possibly hope to get back to sanity. I think a lot of it, however, could very well end up dropping, like the gender confusion and all that nonsense, just as soon as people have to go to work and actually try to farm a field and try to support themselves in terms of survival. I think a lot of this stuff with a lot of this crazy, whacked out being concerned about all this social justice warrior stuff will go out the window because people won't have time to worry about it.
I think you're right. You know, we're talking about people awakening too. We're seeing it in the mainstream media. We had a lady here named Carrie Lake, and she's now running for governor, and she has a snowball's chance in you know where. But she was the number one anchor, multiple awards for years, 20 years to be exact. And she was very kind and very soft-spoken, but, you know, very hard-hitting journalist. But, I mean, really a nice person. You liked her on air. And she quit. And she said, quote, I can no longer lie to the American people. And she said, I lie every night on my newscast. I'm given lies to tell every day, and we're not allowed to tell the truth. And then Brian Williams quit. I don't know if you heard his farewell speech. I put it on one of my YouTube recordings. Brian Williams said, the people running the country are burning down America with us inside, and I have to leave here.
Yeah, but he's been one of the people that have been helping to burn down America.
Yeah, but does that tell you how far they've gone and how they've turned him off?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I got...
That was my reaction, too. And what you just said was my initial reaction. But he's quitting, mm-hmm. And he's not jumping to anything.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where he pops up, if he pops up later on in the future.
I see Carrie Lake in him, in his speech. And am I going to instantly trust him if he pops up on Fox News in 2 years? No. But what I'm telling you is there was something in his delivery that says, I can't do this. I cannot be this deceptive. And we are destroying our country. That was really clear what he was saying.
Well, I hope he genuinely has repented.
Yeah.
We need a whole lot more dissenters from the other side to do just that. The problem I have with a lot of these news anchors in high places is many of these people, the way they've been able to do it for so many years is that they're psychopaths. And what motivates, so I guess I'm a little cynical. What motivates, I think, many of them is self-interest and a complete lack of empathy toward anybody in the country. And so I would be suspicious of people like Brian Williams, who's had a historical record of lying.
I agree.
I mean, lying, even though he gets caught in lies, he still doubles down and continues, and it's cost him his career. You remember he had a pretty good job there at the network, NBC, where he was. Even Tom Brokaw, it got to be too much for Tom Brokaw. Tom ended up, as I recall, speaking out against him. I don't remember the details of it.
No, I agree. And he was discredited. I know. So, but he survived. And for them to come back, for him to come back and say these things, see, I look at it like this. I told you about the one person I've been working with that had you know, pretty much a seat and access in the European Union. And now she's working for the other side because she got dumped on. And her information's really good, but she's had a total change of who I answer to. And that's just, I see the same thing in Brian Williams. Am I going to willingly follow him? No, not at all. But I'm saying even these people are disgusted. And we're seeing more and more media people quit over this.
Yeah.
I just mentioned two prominent ones, one here locally in Arizona and a national figure.
Yeah. We need dissenters within the ranks. We need dissenters within the intelligence establishment, quite frankly. We need all of these people to realize, you know, to develop a sense of patriotism if they don't have one. Because we're losing it if we don't somehow figure out a way to unite the country and reach the side. You know, I said a moment ago, we're post the part where we wake people up. Now we got to the point where we have to educate the ones we got, and we have to plan for the future and what that future is going to look like. They're going to try to drive us toward the abyss of destruction. Because now we've reached a point where they're pushing the shots, they're pushing the mandates everywhere. They have to make people desperate enough to go along with it. I don't know. You probably have seen where 80 Republicans in the House of Representatives, for instance, have voted along with this plan to have a national vaccination database. Now, I can't think of any other reason why we would have a national vaccination database unless this is going to be used in the future for keeping track of who's allowed to buy or sell in the future. The chronicling of all medical records, this is they have to make people desperate enough that they're willing to go along. And we know that, you know, the model that they're pushing is the subscription model, basically, where you have to continually get upgrades all the time. You have to pay for your upgrades all the time. I just saw, and this is going to seem somewhat unrelated, but these people that are involved in pushing the medical stuff are the same type of technocrats that push the computer stuff. And they're having, now your software has to be upgraded constantly. Your Windows system or whatever system you have, they push these things out and they update it with or without your consent. In fact, I have a couple of Windows 10 machines. I'm not thrilled about it, but I haven't yet had a viable alternative yet. And unfortunately, as things age, you got to do something, especially when you're involved in streaming and you need certain software. But I've had to go out of my way to disable processes and keep them disabled in order to avoid, you know, these poisonous updates that Microsoft pushes out that destroy your system. And it happens all the time. This is the model that you're trying to use on people now, where a new variant comes along, they're wanting to jab you again. And we said early on, don't take the first shot. Now, I'm not giving medical advice, but I strongly would suggest that people not take the first one, because once you go down that road, they're never going to stop. And sure enough, so many people have fallen into the trap. I got a religious exemption. I got out of it. And while all the colleagues around me went ahead and took the shot, and now they're pushing the booster. And they're saying it's only a matter of time before the CDC redefines what the definition of fully vaccinated really means. And once they do, they're going to require the booster too. So it's never going to end until you're dead. That's the ultimate goal. Depopulation, Agenda 21. You and I have been talking about it for how long, Dave?
Yeah. 2008.
Yep. Yeah. And so here we go. And they're pushing the depopulation agenda in a major way because we, in their eyes, are obsolete. They want to kill off the population, replace us with robotics and artificial intelligence, automate the planet so the billionaires in Davos and you know, can have their luxury yachts and their carbon footprint's going to be as large as they want, while you are going to be, if you're living at all, are going to be living in a mud hut somewhere and eating insects and cockroaches. And
if you're allowed to live. Yeah, I love their dietary considerations coming out of the World Economic Forum. Plants, bugs, aquatics, and fake lab meat.
Yeah, the latest thing is maggots. They're wanting to push maggots.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Is that true?
Yeah, we covered that just this past Saturday.
Is that an hors d'oeuvre, or how's that going to be served, do you know?
Probably with candlelight.
Yeah, I kind of look at like mushrooms
kale.
On a steak.
Kale will
you know?
Be there. They'll have the kale there.
Maggots on your fake lab meat. There you go.
Sorry to anybody in the audience that might be.
Yeah, if you're eating right now, we humbly apologize, okay? We will try not to go down that road again. But listen, what they're doing is wholly insane, but they're serious. Yeah. They're not you said something earlier, too, about they got to do something because the genie's out of the bottle. Let me go to one more thing, a quote from Zbigniew Brzezinski back in 2011, the ultimate globalist, co-founder of the Trilateral Commission. Brzezinski said, "It used to be easier to control a million people than to kill a million people. Now the opposite is true."
Mm.
He said that before his death. And I think this is how they're approaching this. I think they are actively involved in the plot to systematically reduce the planet's population. One, I think, is the vaccine program. And two is the war they're trying to force on everybody.
Yeah, I got into a somewhat of a discussion with a listener who called into the show talking about Amitai Etzioni and communitarianism. And communitarianism is really the philosophy that exalts the well-being of the community over the rights of the individual. I mean, that's kind of the short statement about it. But Amitai Etzioni is his original name, I think, was Warner Falk, and he was promoting this in a big way. And there's certain people that are passionate about one thing or the other, and we have some people in the audience that are very passionate about exposing communitarianism. And he was kind of being down on our. I know you and I have a mutual friend, Patrick Wood, who talks about the technocrats.
Absolutely.
All the time. And he said, you know, he was kind of beating up on Patrick Wood. And I said, hold on a second. You know, you're attacking somebody who's been working diligently for many years to expose these people. I said, who has more power? Who has more power? Was it Amitai Etzioni who had the power to censor the president of the United States? Or was it the technocrats who run Twitter, Facebook, you know, the social media platforms, as they're called? It wasn't Amitai Etzioni. These people have had enough power to deplatform the president of the United States. That's how much incredible power they have.
Yeah, well, I agree.
And now,
it shows you go ahead.
Well, it's not just the censorship on the social media platforms now. This has extended to financial institutions. I don't know if you've been following the battles that Gab has been having lately.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In recent years, they've been deplatformed by all kinds of major banks to the point where now, I mean, they're literally having to try to build their own credit card system so that they can accept credit card donations on their Gab platform. So, And Andrew Torba has been warning for years that this is where they're going with all of society. Today it's Gab. Today it's the Torba family. Tomorrow it's you and I, if there isn't something done. So these are the types of things that I would say to everybody to support those people that are doing the work to the extent that you can, because they're building these alternative solutions are really, I think it's the only hope we have it going forward. Other than, you know, and I thought about what would happen if they tried to implement mandates in Michigan, where I'm at. What would I do? You know, what if I lose my job? What if they took away the religious exemption, or I didn't get the religious exemption, and I was forced out of employment? I mean, I could see a day where we would have to gather together in commonness, and I hate to even use that terminology because it sounds bad, but people have, in this is really the original, I think, concept of community. People formed communities to fight off the wilderness, to fight off wild animals. They came together in common to try to help each other survive. And I could see freedom-loving people in the future if we don't figure out a way to reach the other side and educate them as to how we all have a common enemy here. And it's not Republican versus Democrat. There, you know, I just said 80%. 80 Republicans joined the Democrat in the House of Representatives to vote in a national vaccine database. So this is not a Republican versus Democrat issue. We have to realize we have a common enemy here. It's establishment uniparty against the rest of us. It's the establishment against the populists. And the left has populist candidates, the right has populist candidates. But if we don't figure out a way to come together and accept the things that we can agree on, yeah, leave the other things beside. You know, I think we have an unprecedented opportunity right now, Dave, and that is to galvanize, to capitalize upon this, the disenfranchisement that people on the left feel toward Joe Biden right now.
Well, I agree. He has opened the door. And like I said, the school board issue is huge, but there's other issues too. Interesting you brought up Amitai Etzioni. My first undergraduate degree was in sociology, and he's often referred to as the father of modern sociology. And he said something that I really agree with, and it really helps explain what's going on with Garland, the AG, and what's happening with school boards. He said, the family can exist without the state, but the state can never exist without the family. And what the state's trying to do is to become the family. They're trying to become the all-everything, which is why they're undermining our children's education, why Garland protects the profits of his son-in-law at Panorama Education for critical race theory, where his daughter and his son-in-law are making tens of millions of dollars. And I'm sure Garland's going to receive some feedback or windfall from this, too. Totally illegal what he's doing. Totally violates DOJ principles and policies. But it's happening. And they're tearing down the family, and you alluded to that to some degree. But you can't tear down the family without pissing off the soccer moms. And this is the wave that's sweeping the country right now, where everyone is looking at their school board and say, can I trust them? Son, daughter, what are you learning in school now?
Well, I'm also excited that a lot of black people are seeing through nonsense with the Black Lives Matter. You know, Patrice Cullors, one of the founders of that organization, came out publicly and said, you know, we are trained Marxists.
Yes.
So, and before they changed their website, they had on there that they had wanted to destroy the nuclear family. So that is not something that's going to benefit black people. That doesn't benefit anybody. In fact, I would argue that one of the biggest problems that the inner city has is an absence of fatherhood.
Yes.
An absence of strong, you know, families, because that really has been the backbone of our country since our country's founding. And without that, we can see, you know, this is why you have so many young people now joining gangs and everything else, is because they need a sense of belonging. They need a sense of what they feel like is a strong social structure, even though that's not. It's a substitute, but it is something that they can feel strongly about and have a sense of belonging, have a sense of, I don't know how else to say it. It's a substitute for real families, though. It feels like a family. It feels like a pseudo family structure.
Well, I think you're exactly right on the money with this, and it's the grassroots that are waking up in America. People that never listened to our shows in the past, people that might have thought we were silly, fear mongers, but they're now looking at it and say, oh my gosh. I had a lady tell me, and she's in Loudoun County, and she's an ex-government employee. And she said to me, you know, Dave, I've heard your show a few times, and sometimes you make sense. Sometimes I thought you were crazy. But she said, what's interesting now is I see what's happening with our kids in our schools. And I said, you got school boards protecting the brainwashing of our children to the point where they're covering up rapes on campus. And I said, exactly. You're talking about Loudoun County schools. So I said to her, I said, so what's changed for you? She said, well, I first thought it was just a school board issue and just, you know, a curriculum issue. She goes, it's not. She said, this is happening on college campuses. She said, the undermining of our children is happening all across the country. They're trying to destroy the family. And then I said, okay, think bigger. If they're trying to destroy the family, what's next? And she stopped for a second. She goes, is that what you mean by we're in a Bolshevik revolution? I said, precisely. So people are beginning to figure this out. We just need to keep putting out the data. But here's the problem, Darren. The UN is now taking down websites like ours at the DNS server. Have you seen that?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, something similar happened to Republic Broadcasting Network. I don't know if you were aware of this.
No.
They had their website deplatformed at the DNS level by GoDaddy. I left GoDaddy many years ago. I thought they were a scummy company. I went with Epic, spelled with a K, E-P-I-K, because they were there for Gab and Alex Jones. You know, Alex Jones, regardless of what you think of Alex Jones, pro or con, or anywhere in the middle, the point is, I think we can agree he has the right to say what he wants. And when he was being deplatformed, I believe it was Epic that stood in the gap. And I know they stood in the gap for Gab. And so I think with a company that is pro-free speech, standing there when nobody else will, I think that you have to support them. So I switched all of my domains over there. But
Who's the server again? Let's give them credit.
This is a DNS registrar, Epic. Epic Domains, E-P-I-K. And so I highly recommend them. I got all my domains over there now because they were the only ones. Every time Gab would switch to a different DNS registrar, the mob would come and attack them. And Epic, you know, the guy there, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he said, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to stand strong and we stand for free speech. And so you got to support people that do that, because there are so many that bow to the pressure. And I think that's what a lot of it is. I think it's not that so much that a lot of companies and individuals, I think that people are just afraid. They're attacked by the mob. And they do what's the easiest, and that's, okay, you know, we just don't want to touch that hot potato, so we let it go. But if we don't, if you have too much of that compromising going on, they've learned that they can control a lot of society by doing that. And so they'll keep pushing until you have no place in the whole internet universe to be able to have free speech. And they've just about achieved that, unfortunately. It's amazing how effectively they've been able to be at shutting down free speech in such a short period of time.
Well, it is interesting. But, you know, RBN, as they call themselves, is in Round Rock, Texas. And here's what's interesting. The Round Rock School District came out. They had parents allowed in one at a time to speak, no audience, you know, almost like Loudoun County. And the same deal. And they would keep cutting these people off. And when you're in public comment, I don't care what state you're in, the rules are the same. Open comment means the board can't respond unless you issue a direct threat or commit a criminal act while you're talking. They're not allowed to respond, and they're not allowed to interrupt you. And that's all they did. And then this guy was just having a fit saying, you're not giving me my 3 minutes. And so the cops on duty, I don't know if they were rent-a-cops or what they were, but they escorted the guy out. I've seen this on video. Later that night, he and another person who had a similar experience were arrested by the local police for disorderly conduct. This is how far it's gone. This is right in Round Rock, the home of RBN.
Yeah. Yeah. It's astounding what all is happening. And you're right. Merrick Garland is up to his eyeballs in all of this.
You know, we got to do something right here. We got to take a break for a second. We ran over a little bit here. Apologize down the line. But let's get in a couple of spots here, and then we'll have a free sailing to the end of the hour. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've been a proponent of storable food for a long time. Do you really want to entrust your fate, if there is a massive food shortage in this country, to a government that left over 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. This government has proven time and time again they care nothing about you. They hold you in complete contempt. You need to take your own preparation in your own hands. Now, right now, My Patriot Supply is one of the few companies left standing. A lot of them are having delivery issues. And listen, we need everyone delivering. This is not something I'm saying, gee, good for our competitors going out of business. We don't like that. We have a huge demand, and we want all hands on deck so America is armed with their food. So this is not gloating. I'm just saying this means you better act, because there's going to come a day, whether it's hyperinflation or overwhelmed by the system, that MPS may not be able to respond, just like any other company may not be able to respond. Now is the time, ladies and gentlemen. How much do you need? Well, my good friend Bob Griswold, survival expert, I call him King Prepper, he says 2 years in seeds. DHS and FEMA say 6 months. I'm going to tell you this, do what you can do, but where can you donate resources from your existing budget away from things you really don't need? I think food is where it's at. You need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And I have food listed first for a reason. Now, there's $100 off the emergency 90-day package. And you go, Dave, you just said we need more than 90 days. Yeah, you stockpile 90-day orders. You get the savings all the way through. 2,000 calories per day, 25-year shelf life. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And one other thing, you've heard me talk about this. Satellite phones. And you know that I represent the satellite phone company. Why? Because I live north of Phoenix in the middle of nowhere. And oftentimes we'll all be in the city doing things. Do you know that the government can shut a city down in 30 minutes? And who knows what would lead to it? But do you want to be caught in that situation where you don't have a rally point with your family? If you all have sat phones, you will. Cell phones go down in those situations. So do landlines. So does the internet. Sat phones, very hard to get to. Also, too, as I found out, as I'm driving through mountains where my cell phone won't get reception, my sat phone does. All it does need is just needs to see the sky. And we also have an emergency notification system called Galileo. And if we're all taken down at the DNS level, this is how we will communicate with our audience. We give text messages out. I send out about 4 to 6 a day. So does Steve Quayle, Mike Adams, Doug Hagman, you know, the regular crew. We're all involved in this together. And so this is something that you're going to want to be a part of. How do you become a part of it? Well, you call them, 855-980-5830. 855-980-5830. And by the way, I'm spending 1/4 the amount on my sat phone that I am on my cell phone bill. Again, that's 855-980-5830. Well, we're talking with Darren Weeks from Govern America, and it's a terrific show. It's one that here at the Common Sense Show, we owe a great debt of gratitude, because they really popularized our issue when McCain was coming after our land without compensation. And Darren's been on top of things for years. We both formerly broadcasted at RBN, as you heard. And so, Darren, going forward here, let me focus this directly. Where do you see the deep state taking us? What is their end game? How are they going to get us there?
I think they're going to do everything they can to try to make us as desperate as possible. I think food storage is very important. I think gardening is very important. If you can do that in a rural area, get some chickens. I know it's probably not the best time to be starting out, but once you get set up with chickens, they're not really that hard to take care of, right, as long as you're in a part of the country that you're able to have them. I mean, without, you know, some places don't like roosters and things because they're loud. Thankfully, I'm out distanced enough that I'm able to do that. But I did that reluctantly. I've been considering it for many years. And then when the so-called pandemic started and the store shelves went empty, I said, well, now's the time. I should have done this a long time ago. That's kind of what gave me the good swift kick in the pants to kind of start down that road. So I've been raising chickens now for a good while, you know, and you know, it was a big cost in setting it up properly, you know, so that the predators don't get in there. And the best thing in the world is chickendoors.com. I recommend it. They don't pay me anything. Chickendoors.com. You can buy an automated chicken door. And it's on a light sensor, and so I don't have to be here to close them in or let them out. Basically, when it gets daylight, it opens the door. It's on a battery with a solar panel, and so it opens up the door, lets the chicken out into the run, and at the end of the day, when it gets when they go into roost, it closes it for me. You know, so I don't even have to worry about this anymore. And then the other thing is I've got feeding systems in place with there's a tub out there. I took an ordinary tote, put a pipe in one side, it points down so that the feed can run underneath it, and then they're able to stick their heads in the sides and reach in there and poke down and eat it. So I only have to fill this thing up once every, oh, I don't know, 2-3 weeks maybe. I mean, so, you know, if you want to take vacations, if you're into vacations, you want to take a trip or something, whatever the case, it runs itself. The only thing you got to have is somebody out there every day to collect the eggs. And that's it makes it so much easier. So you can do it. It's not that difficult. The difficult part is getting started, building the thing, making it fortified enough to keep predators out and that sort of thing. And the key there is hardware cloth, burying the hardware cloth under the ground so many feet. And, you know, I also made underneath the area underneath my floor hardware cloth as well, so that if, you know, if the floor ever rotted out, nothing would be able to tunnel through there anyway. And predators do try. I see footprints out there all the time. So far, they've not been successful. So, you know, it's just things like that. And I mean, that provides you with something steady. And then gardening, if you've never tried that, many people have. But, you know, it's a trial and error process. But we have to get started on things like that that's going to provide some basic sustenance for the family. Because we are really, I think, heading for... And then the alternative power generation, I think, is something that everyone needs to look at, because they're doing everything they can to Californicate the entire country in terms of power generation. You know, ripping us out of coal. And I just don't think the systems that are in place are going to be enough to generate, you know, enough electricity, especially when they successfully get us off of the internal combustion engine, if they ever do. If everybody's powered, plugged into the grid, is the grid going to be able to supply everybody with power to go to work on their electric car and in their houses too by using solar and wind? I have my doubts about that. Now, other people in the industry probably would say, oh, yeah, that can be. But I don't think we're there yet, if we ever are. I mean, there's other things about the internal combustion engine. I feel like I'm rambling here now.
No, I think what you're doing is you're going off what I said about prep, and prep is key.
There's other good things about the internal combustion engine that people forget, and that is that it too can be a generator. You know, you can hook up an inverter to your car and produce AC electricity and power certain things. It can be a de facto generator. So I think that's probably a big part of why they want to take that away from people as well. And gasoline stores, not forever, but it stores decent enough that you can at least have, you know, I'm for all alternatives and holding on to as much of what we have. But we certainly need to be thinking about things like this for the future, because they intend to make things as hard as possible. And I think we'll come down to the point where, you know, we have to hold the line as much as possible. And in those areas where, I mean, but there, it would be unrealistic for us to say that we can hold the line in every single thing that they want to do. Financially, they're planning the Great Reset. This is something they've talked about a lot on the World Economic Forum. I know that you're very familiar with that, Klaus Schwab. They had it on their website. You know, you'll own nothing and be happy. You know, basically their statement is they're going to take care of you. Well, what is that going to entail? You know, what cost is going to be involved with them taking care of you? I don't think I like the sound of that when their idea of taking care of us is injecting us with nonstop clot shots. So taking care of you can mean finishing you off. And I think that's ultimately what they mean.
Systematic reduction of population while they profit on our demise. That's how I would categorize what they're trying to do. Interesting the discussion about the chickens here. I'm not getting a lot of support within my own home for this, but it's something we've looked at. My neighbor who's very awake, has his own chicken outfit. But and it's really productive, and we hear them at 5 a.m., and it's okay. I'm up early. Yeah, and we're out here in the country. So you live out in the country, you got to expect to hear noises.
Well, you talk about cheap entertainment, too. I mean, they're hilarious, some of the stuff they do, and watching them run and chase after bugs. And dumb as a box of rocks. As a matter of fact, they eat rocks. They tried to eat my roofing nails when I was out working. So you kind of got to watch them a little bit. But they're a lot of fun. I don't look at them as pets. I don't let anybody name them because, you know, if you ever come down to the point where you need to actually kill one of them, I don't want to have to, you know, oh boy, I'm killing Sally or whatever. You know, I mean, I don't want to look at them as their livestock, but they are a lot of fun to have around as well.
I never considered that part of it, but you can tell I've never owned any either.
A lot of people get attached to them. And that's the problem. You got to think of them as a food source.
Yeah, it really is. What do you think about the Ukraine situation? Is this a deliberate war they're going to make happen so Russia and the U.S. have to weaken each other on behalf of China?
Well, yeah, that's a loaded question. And I think that
that's
a lot
job.
Of...
That's my job, Darren.
Yeah, that's right. I think a lot of... Ukraine, ever since the Orange Revolution... has really been used as a springboard for the establishment to try to antagonize Russia. And I think that's a big part of it. They're trying to say that Russia wants to, you know, all this talk about Russia and annexing Crimea. My understanding, Crimea voted overwhelmingly, the people there, to rejoin Russia. Now, of course, the international globalists, you know, dispute that election and everything. So there's a war of words there as well. But the point is that Vladimir Putin went up against these people years ago after the collapse of the Soviet Union. It's a big story. We almost don't have time to get into it now. Maybe at some point in the future we can go diving very deep in this. But there it goes back to the State Department and Larry Summers, Harvard, and a guy named Bill Browder, and a Russian oligarch by the name of Mikhail Khodorkovsky. They made a fortune off of looting the people of Ukraine. They were in the process. They had this corrupt voucher program back in the 90s where Natalie Chubais had set it up. And what they were doing is they were... Because after the Soviet Union had collapsed, they had all these state assets that they needed to distribute. There was nothing there for the people. They were starving. They didn't have the basic essentials because the government had always taken care of that. And so they ended up distributing these vouchers, and Chubais set it up. And these rich billionaires and these hedge fund managers went in there and collected all these, they literally for pennies on the ruble, and they were auctioning them off in these corrupt auctions. And so Browder and all these people went in there and literally were buying up all the state assets. Minitep or Yukos Oil was one of the largest, that's how Khodorkovsky ended up getting a lot, and he ended up buying it for just a few million dollars and ended up, you know, is over like a $5 billion company. And but he was prosecuted because he didn't pay the taxes, and he spent 9 years in a Russian prison for not paying taxes. And that was the same reason why Bill Browder he wrote the book Red Notice, which was a book of lies. But he was the one that was the main architect of the Magnitsky Act here in the United States. Is that he used to be a U.S. citizen. He gave up his U.S. citizenship to avoid paying taxes. He's now living in London. But he got the government of the United States to pass the Magnitsky Act. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton supported Mikhail Khodorkovsky. They passed Senate Resolution 322, which was a resolution. In fact, you may recognize the number, just happens to be the same number of the skull and bones, 322.
Mm.
That was in support of Mikhail Khodorkovsky when he was in prison. So she endorsed him. In fact, that endorsement, I think, is still up on Khodorkovsky's website. But Sergei Magnitsky was Bill Browder's accountant. He calls him his attorney, but he was actually his accountant, helped him set up his tax schemes. And Magnitsky died in Russian prison. And since then, and it looks like from everything I've seen, Browder helped push him to his demise, because he was always constantly encouraging him to file complaints against his prisoners and the guards there because of the conditions. And, you know, there's retaliation when you do that. I mean, so they kind of left them there and neglected them. And so the conditions kind of got harsher until the point where he ultimately died. And so Browder comes along like he's some sort of human rights campaigner, and he is he gets the Congress to pass the Magnitsky Act, which is something that every year the president, and Donald Trump followed through on it as well, because he did what he was told, put out a big long list of Russian people who they issue sanctions against every year.
And I know, it's crazy.
And you've got no due process when you're on that list, and he's trying to get it passed in other countries as well. So it could be potentially used against people in the United States.
It's like the NDAA, isn't it? You know, snatch people off the streets without due process.
Yeah. National Defense Authorization Act.
Yeah, and then there's that provision in there where they can grab you, and even the trials. People never talk about this, but I wrote about it when it first passed. They can use hearsay evidence. You can't. They can call witnesses. You can't. And that's if they grant you a trial. They don't have to. It's absolutely insane what the NDAA is. It's designed for kangaroo court convictions. Darren, this has really been... We're going to have you back because I want to pursue more things with you. But I want to send people your way to govern America. So I'm curious. You're not on a platform like we're on Global Star, Red State Talk Radio, KYH. What are you on? You're on Epic, right?
Well, no, that's the domain registrar. We're okay. On American Voice Radio Network. We're there, and you can also go to governamerica.com and listen there. The streams are all at radio.governamerica.com, but if you just go to governamerica.com, it's very self-explanatory there. And we have a number of different streaming partners as well that restream either live or delayed. So you can listen that way. You can subscribe to the podcast. We're on Spreaker, most of the major podcast platforms as well.
Okay.
I have Govern America. You could search for Govern America there. But yeah, American Voice Radio Network, we're on every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I think that would be 8 a.m. Pacific. And
that's your old time.
Yeah. Years ago. Well, that was kind of the easiest way to do it, is just to kind of shift and keep the same time, because it's hard enough to get people to, you know, realize where you went. And then if you go and start changing the time as well, it gets even more difficult.
No, there's no question about that. So any interference with the podcast services on your content?
Spotify censored a couple of shows. And YouTube, I just gave up on, because we were getting, I mean, it's gotten so bad, whether it was just censorship things, you know, things that we would say that they didn't like, they would take either mark the video private or just remove it altogether and put a strike against us. The other thing is copyright claims that weren't valid. I mean, that happened all the time. You know, I've got an open there that's, you know, like a montage of New World Order stuff.
Oh, yeah, right. Your intro.
Yeah. They flagged that. All of that's public domain stuff. Every single thing there is either public domain or something that, you know, people have the right as long as you credit them. And they were flagging, like, the siren that's in there.
Oh, my God.
Ridiculous things, so that people can, you know, people can file a copyright claim against you on YouTube. And then even if you appeal it, they'll just take the word for whoever files the copyright claim. They don't even bother to look into it. So YouTube is really becoming largely a useless platform for a variety of reasons. Overtly evil for the censorship, but also because they're so large, the algorithm, they just let the algorithm run everything, and it doesn't do a good job.
Oh, no, no. I've been flagged for just totally ridiculous things.
You can't prove yourself innocent.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And there's no way to really communicate with them whatsoever. Yeah,
But Dave, I understand,
Darren, we're flat up against the end. And so I have to bid adieu, but we're going to get you back on. Govern America, folks, governamerica.com is where you want to go. Thanks a lot, Darren, for joining us.
Blessings to you and your audience. Thank you very much for having me.
Take care.